Tantor Audio, a division of Recorded Books, presents The Catch by Lauren H. May, narrated by Amanda Friday. The time will come when winter will ask you what you were doing all summer. Henry Clay. 1. What do I win? Cacio Rodet shouted over the screaming guitar of a cover band. Her best friend Danny was so close that their sweaty arms kept sliding off of each other, but the volume still made conversation cumbersome. Danny tapped a manicured nail on her drink and pursed her red lips in thought. I'll buy you breakfast tomorrow, she offered. Kat considered the terms as she bent to gather her thick, heavy hair off of her neck, tying it in a knot on top of her head. Unfortunately, a man in a neon green, Virginia is for lovers, tank top, took that as an invitation to stare down her shirt. She shot him a look to let him know he'd been caught, then spun away from him. When she righted herself, though, his eyes just slid to her ass. Okay, she officially hated this place. It was a long overdue vacation, a road trip down the coast to Virginia Beach to celebrate their friend Emma's upcoming wedding. But the club Danny had dragged them all to, with thumping dance music and skimpy outfits, might as well have been Narnia. How is that even a fair bet? Kat asked, gesturing to Danny's cleavage, barely contained in her dress. Who wouldn't buy you a drink? Danny tossed her bouncy platinum curls over her shoulder. She didn't look at all as out of place as Kat felt. Not a drink. All my drinks. That is, I can drink all night without spending a dime. Kat weighed the wager. For a potential free meal at their swanky hotel? Why not? It was Danny's bet to lose. Fine, she said. Every time we get another round, you get a guy to buy yours, or breakfast is on you. Deal, let's go. Danny spun on her heel, clutching Kat's wrist and tugging. Wait, what? Kat sputtered. She planted her feet, but her flat-bottomed sandals were like ice skates on the sweat and beer-soaked floor. This was your idea. I'm not playing. Stop being a wuss. You're the only other single one on this trip, and I need a wingman. Forget it. You can buy your own drinks, Danny. I'm not here to get hit on, especially not at this place. Look around you. Every guy here is trouble. She pointed to a circle of men, openly ogling the bartender as an example. Danny let go of Kat's arm and set her hands on her hips. It's not about getting hit on. Think of it as beating these guys at their own game. They're going to look anyway, might as well get a drink for it. It's like feminist or whatever. It definitely is not. Her argument was cut short when the same man who'd been staring down her shirt approached them in a scent cloud of drugstore body spray and fake tanner.
Ladies, he said,
perusing them each from head to toe. He gave Kat a smarmy smile over his bottle of Michelob Ultra and hooked a muscled arm around Danny's shoulders. Now that he was close up, her first thought after, that shirt is ridiculous, was, wow, he's really short. Being 5'2" herself, that was saying a lot. Danny took one look at him and winked at Kat. She could not be serious.
How are you two beautiful ladies doing tonight?
We're just fine, Danny purred. How about yourself?
I sure am better now. Gag.
Kat kicked Danny's shin to show her displeasure, but she didn't react. Instead, she flipped her hair again. We were just about to get a drink.
Why don't you let me do that for you?
The guy said, his eyes squarely on Danny's ample chest. He gestured for her to join him against the bar.
I'm Brad.
Nice to meet you, Brad. I'm Danny, and this is Kat. Danny spit Kat's name out through clenched teeth, attempting to get her to play along, but Kat had already checked out. This was so typical Danny. They were supposed to be celebrating Emma. Couldn't they have a girls' night without bringing men into it? Yeah, she and Danny were the two single ones on this trip. But single for Danny meant something entirely different than it did for Kat. Kat was single on purpose, because men, at the risk of making a sweeping generalization, sucked and lied. Oh, and also ruined everything. At least the one she'd met, fallen in love with, and almost married. Sure, he was one guy. She'd heard that argument before, but that's all it took to throw her entire life off course. Why bother spinning that wheel of fortune again? Her chest did that familiar, achy, angry thing it did whenever she thought of Micah, and she gulped her sickly sweet cocktail to push it away. The thick, syrupy flavor only made her cough. She felt an elbow connect with her ribs as Danny tried again to draw her into the conversation she was forcing with Brad. "So, Kat was just saying what a fun place this is," Danny said. She definitely was not. "Do you come here often?"
"I like to be wherever the pretty girls are," Brad said. "Looks like I picked the right place tonight."
This guy was something else. And not for nothing, the way he was leering was setting off all sorts of alarm bells inside her head. She was used to the standard bullshit spinning that men do, where they tell you exactly what they think you want to hear in hopes you'll act against your better judgment. This guy, though, he was standing way too close and staring way too hard. He had "Watch your drinks, girls," written all over him. Kat looked around the bar, spotting the rest of their friends on the dance floor. Maybe she could use the Bon Jovi song blaring from the speakers to entice Danny to join them. Who could resist living on a prayer? She tugged Danny's arm and pointed to the rest of the group, but Danny shook her head. "What's with the shirt?" Danny asked Brad. "You look like you're ready to party." Brad beamed with pride as he thought that it was a compliment.
"And you look like you're ready to join me," he said, inching closer.
It was going to be a long night. This wasn't his type of place. Josh Rideout stood squished against the sticky bar, catching stray elbows into his back every time one of the frat boys behind him did another shot. He'd already had a beer and something pink spilled on his shirt while waiting for Dylan, his best friend and purveyor of poor decisions, to order another round. He scanned the club through flashes from the DJ booth and raised beer bottles. Loud music, $10 cocktails served in tiny plastic cups, girls who looked way too young to be wearing what they were wearing and dancing how they were dancing. Yeah, this was Dylan's type of place. That's how he and their friend Sean had ended up at this dive that Dylan swore was the hottest place on the beach. Frankly, all of them being in their early 30s, Josh thought they were a little old for it. This was the type of place where everyone was looking for something, and whatever it was that Josh was looking for these days, he was pretty sure he wouldn't find it here. Dylan handed Josh an overpriced rum and coke, then a beer to Sean, and threw some bills down, stepping aside so the eager mob could take his place at the bar. "Shit, man," Dylan said. He ran a hand over his dark, perfectly gelled hair and whistled through his teeth. "You see that girl I was talking to? I think I'm in love."
"Yeah, we saw,"
Josh said, pushing away from the crowded bar to find a clear spot on the deck.
"What about the girl from the last bar, Casanova?"
Dylan hated the nickname, which made it all the more fun. But seriously, they were at a bar that mixed drinks in plastic cups, and Dylan was dressed in trousers with the top buttons of his dress shirt undone, like a model from a men's cologne ad. Who was he kidding? Dylan smiled over his cup.
"You know, you could stand to loosen up a little bit, Joshua. You're on vacation, remember?" "Damn straight,"
Sean agreed. Josh raised an eyebrow at the advice from his happily married friend, but Sean only shrugged.
"I remember,"
he assured them both, taking a large swig of his drink. They managed to hold on to the more comfortable spot as the crowd ebbed and flowed before them. Throngs of people pushed onto the deck when the music slowed, pulling back like the tide once the beat picked up again. At that moment, the bass from the speakers was vibrating through the floorboards, so they had plenty of elbow room. Josh leaned against the railing and watched intoxication wash over the space. The clientele at this place was at least more entertaining than the shitty cover band, if he had to find a bright side. There was a woman in cowboy boots and a miniskirt, attempting to climb her way onto the stage, a bunch of rowdy 20-somethings cheering her on. To his right, a couple was having a slurred argument over whether or not this was a classic song. It wasn't, but the guy was making some interesting points. Past the couple, he noticed a pair of women having a conversation with a man who seemed to be enjoying it more than they were, considering the look on the dark-haired woman's face. They didn't know the guy, Josh could tell. Reading body language was one of the things he considered himself particularly good at. He'd spent a lot of time as a kid, silently observing adults who were choosing not to say something outright, and this guy's unspoken intention was to continue this conversation with one or both of these women until well after last call. A woman with bleached blonde hair seemed to be egging him on for her own amusement. Her friend, with the big dark eyes and light brown skin, looked like she was trying to decide whether to be polite or deck the guy. He was on the smaller side. She could probably take him if he got out of line. Dylan and Sean started in on their typical armchair analysis of the upcoming Virginia Tech football season. Unlike him, the two were born and bred Virginians, so they tended to be more fanatical. Besides, he was a baseball guy. He sipped his drink while he half-listened to Sean opine about their alma mater's defensive line, until an awkward, hollow laugh came from over his shoulder. He turned back to where he'd been watching the two women, noticing the blonde scanning the crowd behind her. She was searching for an exit. The man was invading her personal space now, and she was beginning to look uncomfortable. Her pretty friend was starting to look pissed. Josh stood up straighter. He sized the guy up again, confident he could end the situation pretty easily if he needed to. At 6 feet tall, he would tower over this little snake of a guy. It would probably only take a stern look to send him on his way. As he contemplated whether or not he should get involved, the blonde woman suddenly flashed her eyes in his direction. To his and her friend's surprise, she pointed a finger at him and waved. His back was against the railing, but he still turned over his shoulder, half expecting her to be gesturing to someone behind him. She plastered on a wide grin and walked the few steps over to where Josh was standing, hooking her arm through his.
"There you are, babe,"
she cooed, dragging him to their circle.
"I've been waiting for you to come back."
She turned toward Snake Guy and smiled. "This is my boyfriend."
"Okay."
He was happy to help, but he wasn't expecting that. Blondie squeezed his bicep, and her friend's scowl relaxed a fraction as she blinked at him curiously. He froze for a moment, watching those thick black lashes flutter, until Blondie nudged him. Josh cleared his throat.
"Sorry, sweetheart,"
he said, with his best boyfriendy smile.
"There was a long wait at the bar."
The man they were trying to escape looked him up and down, his eyes narrowed. Seeing that she was unconvincing, Blondie ran her fingers over the stubble on Josh's cheek, giving him a look like she was contemplating kissing him right then and there to sell her story. He quickly wrapped his fingers around her wrist to stop her stroke, planting a chaste kiss on her forehead instead, while he stole another glance at her friend. She was even more striking up close. Her dark hair was pinned up in that way girls do it, so that it looks intentionally messy, and she had a handful of freckles in the same color splashed on her face, like an artist with a paintbrush had flicked them there. He drank her in discreetly, while she and Blondie argued with their eyes.
"It's okay, babe,"
Blondie said to him, leaning into his chest and wrapping him in an aggressive hug.
"You're here now.
I guess we should get going. Nice to meet you, Brad." She waved to the man and reached for her friend's arm. "Come on, Cat."
"Cat."
Josh rolled the name around in his head while he allowed his new girlfriend to pull him away from the poor guy, who was still standing there with his mouth hanging open. He'd never met a cat before. It fit her soft, pretty face and dangerous eyes, like an adorable kitten that you wouldn't be able to resist picking up and cuddling, even though you knew she might leave you a bloody mess. She pushed ahead of them, her hips swaying beneath the sarong-style skirt she wore. He was staring so hard she could probably feel his eyes on her, so he forced himself to refocus his gaze past her shoulder at nothing in particular. When they had sufficiently blended in with the crowd, Blondie released him.
"Thanks,"
she said, using her palms to smooth his shirt over his chest.
"You're a doll."
"No problem."
He looked over her shoulder at Kat. She was smiling now, causing two little dimples to poke at her cheeks.
"I'm Danny. Let me buy you a drink for playing along."
"Josh, and it was no trouble. Besides, I already have one."
He held up his cup of rum and melted ice, tapping it against hers. "Let her," Kat said, surprising him with the way she met his gaze and held it hostage. "She owes you. Danny, get the man a drink." He swallowed hard, his muscles feeling a little watery at the sound of her voice, bubbly and sweet, with just a hint of a Spanish accent. She pulled her lip between her teeth, gazing up at him, and his heart thumped. Danny looked back and forth between them. He didn't say anything. He really didn't want Danny to buy him a drink, but it occurred to him that he might be left alone with Kat for a few minutes if Danny took off for the bar. He was weighing the options when a hard slap landed on his back.
"Thought we lost you, man."
Dylan slung an arm around Josh's shoulder, forcing him to break away from the staring contest he'd started with Kat.
"You found me,"
he said, his jaw tight. Dylan's ability to appear where he wasn't wanted should be on his resume. Josh was going to add this untimely arrival to the list of brotherly betrayals he liked to keep at the ready.
"You make some friends, Josh?"
Sean squeezed in beside Dylan, closing them all into a circle.
"How's it going, ladies?"
"Excellent, thank you." Danny placed her hand on her hip and smiled. The Sean effect was undeniable. Big and burly with a crinkly-eyed grin, Sean had a teddy bear innocence that instantly put people at ease. Both women were already beaming at him in a way Snake Guy could only dream of. Dylan, however, already had his prowling eyes on. Josh shrugged out of his embrace, taking a step back as they said their hellos. He pretended to scratch his forehead, peeking from under his hand to watch his best friend introduce himself to Kat. He didn't usually engage in this kind of competition with Dylan, but something told him Kat might just be the exception to that rule. He was pleasantly surprised, though, to find she didn't seem all that impressed with Dylan, even though he was giving her his most charming smile, his green eyes shining with sexual confidence. Kat smiled politely at Dylan and Sean, then flicked her eyes back to his. He knew he should stop staring, but she wasn't looking away either. He'd forgotten anyone else was there until Danny spoke again. "This is Emma and Sonia," she said. He tore his eyes away from Kat to politely introduce himself to two women who had just pushed into the circle. Emma, a tall, wispy brunette, and Sonia, who was equally thin, but in a strong, lean muscle sort of way. Both of them seemed to have caught the way he was looking at Kat, and they smiled knowingly as he shook their hands.
"Nice to meet you,"
he said.
"Josh Rideout."
"It's Emma's bachelorette party," Danny said, bouncing her eyebrows. Emma's pale cheeks turned pink under the light from the bar.
"It's a pre-wedding girls' trip. Bachelorette parties are silly."
"Right," Sonia said. She tossed her ponytail of dark braids over her shoulder and gave them an exaggerated wink.
"And your fiancé is having a barbecue at his buddy's house."
"He is having a barbecue,"
Emma exclaimed, as if she'd heard this accusation before.
"What about y'all? Celebrating something?"
"Celebrating being alive, ladies,"
Sean said, tipping his chin to the starry night sky and taking in a deep pull of salty air.
"Dylan and I were here for work," Josh said. "We decided to make a vacation of it. Sean decided to join us." "I don't miss a party, even if I have to invite myself."
Kat laughed along with the others at Sean's joke, but she still hadn't said much. She sipped the remains of a cocktail with a paper umbrella floating in the top, studying the cast of characters that had followed him into their evening. Josh wished they would all find somewhere else to be and leave him to Kat, but it didn't look likely. He tipped back his cup and swallowed the last of his drink, catching her gaze again over the conversation that had sprung up around them. Feeling emboldened by the rum burning in his chest and her apparent immunity to Dylan, he stepped around Danny and Emma and pressed a finger to the back of Kat's arm.
"Kat,"
he said, trying her name out on his tongue. She turned to face him, her chest just inches from his, and her chin tipped upward.
"Hey, would you let me buy you a drink?"
Kat brought her cup to her lips, draining it, then gave him a cautious smile. She was trying to get a read on him, he figured, after the situation with Snake Guy, and he wanted nothing more than to be a book that she could browse all night long.
"We still owe you," she said.
"You should let me buy."
"You don't owe me anything."
In fact, if Kat was going to give him her time, he might owe Danny drinks for life.
please?
Okay, sure. You can buy me a drink. Josh gestured for her to lead the way, letting his hand graze the small of her back as they wove through the crowd. She stood on her toes, leaning over the bar, and the bartender made a beeline for her. Rum punch, please? Josh held up two fingers and handed the bartender his card. When their drinks arrived, Kat tipped her cup to his and smiled. Thank you.
You're welcome.
That was kind of you, she said. Helping us out with that guy?
It was no big deal.
Do you always go around rescuing girls at bars?
First time, actually. And you don't look like you need rescuing that often.
Maybe not. He took in the square of her shoulders and her chin held high. He could already tell she was the type of woman who could make you melt or kick your ass, depending on how much she liked you.
I bet you could have handled that guy,
he said. Probably, but I really didn't want to. She sighed wearily as a guy in a trucker hat elbowed his way into the space beside her and raked his eyes down her front. Josh shot him a possessive look that he had no business doling out, considering he'd known Kat for about 10 minutes. As insane as it sounded, though, he already felt some way about her. Crazy or not, no one was going to look at her like that while she was talking to him. He angled himself between her and the crowd, and Kat settled into the little space he'd made for her.
This place is like a meat market,
he said. Right? That's what I told Danny.
That's what I told Dylan.
So how'd you end up here? He groaned.
I was outvoted. You?
Pretty much the same. She smiled up at him mischievously, leaning into his arm. Given how my night has gone so far, I guess I'll just have to take your word for it that you're the one guy in here who's not a total creep. Josh laughed, narrowly avoiding spitting his drink out. She was adorable.
Come on now. Would Danny have dated me for these last few minutes if I was a creep?
Oh, you don't know Danny. She shot back, joining in his laughter. She turned her shoulders toward him and held her cup up to her neck, letting the condensation drip down her skin.
Jesus.
So, what do you do, Josh? You said you were here for work.
I'm an architect. We were down here for a training on windows and tropical wind ratings.
Fascinating.
It is when there's a hurricane.
Touché.
What about you?
I work for a victim's advocacy organization. She paused to chew on her straw. And I just finished law school.
Interesting.
She was definitely a few years younger than him, but not young enough to still be in school. The way she said it indicated there was a story there. He added it to the list of things he found intriguing about her, like the way her eyes had a fire to them, even though her fingers were twisting nervously in the fabric of her skirt. He imagined it would be a cold day in hell before Kat admitted any weak spots.
I bet you'll make a good lawyer.
He hedged. Oh, yeah? Why do you say that?
You have this whole take-no-prisoners thing going on?
He shrugged.
I don't know. I can just see it.
Pink crept up her neck, and she dipped her head. I've heard that before. Not as a compliment.
I meant it as one.
I know you did. The crowd around them grew thicker, with more people vying for the bartender's attention, and Josh noticed the music had had a change in mood. A familiar guitar riff, something he recognized from high school dances and romantic scenes on television, filled the air. The strobe lights tapered off into a warm glow. The ambiance seemed to shift to accommodate the moment, and he wasn't going to waste it.
Do you think my girlfriend would mind if I asked you to dance, Kat?
She smiled and leaned into his ear, making his blood rush. I hate to be the one to tell you this, Josh, she said, but I think you're about to break up. Josh followed her gaze and saw Dylan's arm wrapped around Danny. He wasn't surprised in the least.
Is that a yes?
Okay, yes. They waded through a wall of sweat and hot breath to an open spot on the floor, and he pulled her into his arms, letting his fingers splay over the soft curve of her hip, his other hand holding hers against his chest. With her waist tucked in the crook of his arm, she felt smaller than before. Her head barely brushed his chin, and he imagined the way he'd have to duck down to kiss her, how she'd push to her toes to meet him. The way her eyes kept darting to his mouth made him think that maybe she was picturing it too.
So where would you be if you weren't outvoted? he asked.
What's a cat type of place?
A cat type of place is my couch with a glass of wine.
Sounds exclusive. What's the dress code?
She laughed. Pajamas, of course.
Do they serve food?
There's a drawer full of takeout menus. Open all night.
The scent of coconut and sun-kissed skin drifted from her, and he leaned closer, chasing it.
I'm making myself sound like a hermit, she said. I'm not.
No, I get it. That sounds like a good place.
He squeezed her hand and tipped his head to the couple beside them. The man's hand had disappeared under the woman's skirt, while they danced and slobbered all over each other.
Though not as romantic as this.
Oh my God, gross!
He laughed at the way her face twisted.
Don't judge. We might be watching a true love connection here.
Or the beginning of a very bad decision.
Oh no. Kat clutched his shirt nervously as they watched the man attempt to dip the woman. Miraculously, he pulled it off without dropping her, but it only made him more confident. His next move was way too advanced, and his dance partner lost her footing and stumbled on her wedge sandals. Her cup sloshed toward them. Josh twisted Kat out of the way, but his shirt caught most of the woman's drink.
I am so sorry, the woman slurred.
It's fine, he said, waving her off.
He looked at Kat.
Are you okay?
Yeah, I'm fine. Your shirt.
She was trying to look concerned, but he could tell she was holding in a laugh. He shrugged.
That's the third drink that's been spilled on me tonight. I could probably sell this shirt with a straw at this point.
She brushed her fingers over the wet spot on his stomach, and his skin prickled with electricity.
Does anything upset you? She asked.
What do you mean?
You just seem very chill. Look at you.
She ran a finger over his brow. You don't even have any frown lines. He laughed, then captured the hand she'd just touched him with and held it. He'd learned not to sweat the small stuff a long time ago, but he couldn't imagine getting upset about anything while he had her in his arms.
Well,
he said, pulling her closer.
My shirt aside, I'd say all in all, I'm having a pretty good night.
She grinned, her nose scrunching adorably, her tongue pressed into the back of her teeth. When she rested her cheek on his shoulder, he was sure she could feel his heart beating. A pang of disappointment lodged in his chest. This beautiful girl had his pulse racing, but he was on vacation, hours away from where his real life took place.
How long are you here?
He asked, bracing himself for the answer. We leave the day after tomorrow.
And then where?
Kat let out a regretful sigh as she blew out her answer.
Do you see?
Really?
He stopped swaying for a moment to squint at the top of her head.
Yeah, you?
Fairy Island, about an hour east of the city.
Kat looked at him with the same cocked eyebrow she'd given Snake Guy, except with far less malice.
That's not a Maryland accent.
It's not, but that's where I live.
So we both traveled 200 miles to end up at the same sweaty bar on the same little stretch of sand?
How?
He shook his head and huffed out a laugh. A lifetime's worth of good fortune was the only explanation he could come up with. Kat still looked floored.
Where are you staying?
Comfort Suites. Dylan picked it.
We're two hotels down. The Tidal Inn? Tall one with the white balconies?
I saw it from the beach this morning,
he said, as the song came to an end. He prayed for another ballad, but the beat picked up, and the crowd filled in around them. Sonia appeared on the floor, pulling Emma behind her, and the two started dancing beside them. Emma playfully bumped into Kat with her hip, forcing Josh to loosen his hold. Kat gave him a wistful look, and the air in his lungs started to thin. His heart took off in a sprint.
Can I see you tomorrow?
He shouted over the music.
I assumed you were going to ask me to go home with you tonight.
She flashed a sexy smile that broke his forehead into a sweat, and his mouth dropped open. His words stuck like cotton on his tongue.
I would have said no,
she amended with a laugh.
Right.
He nodded humbly and laughed with her.
Glad I went with my plan, then.
Her two friends worked to surround her and take back her company, but he held tight to her hand until he had his answer. He wasn't letting her disappear. Kat looked him up and down, and her smile straightened like a spell breaking.
Like I said, we're on the same...
Sample complete. Ready to continue?